You're tuned in to Nerd Overload, your weekly show for video games, movies, TV shows, comics, tech news, and more. Now your hosts, Cody Pinnick, Samantha Cross, Sam Dunham, and Josh Harrison.
Hey everybody, welcome to Nerd Overload, the pop and geek culture show that's the bad boy of public radio. I'm Cody.
I'm Sam.
I'm Laser.
And I'm Samantha.
We have a great show for you this week. Thank you all for tuning in, folks. We have a bunch of news to go over, but first let's talk about some things we have been checking out this week.
And special guest Laser from American Gladiators.
You know what? I miss that show.
I do miss that show, too.
I really do.
Yeah.
Like, I wanted to be on it so bad.
You wanted to get pelted with volleyballs by a muscle man?
Like, no, seriously, like, the Gauntlet was, like, my favorite, like, game on the show.
The Gauntlet? The Joust where they had the giant foam Q-tips?
No. The Gauntlet's the one where they're running between the different, like, cover barriers launching tennis ball weapons.
That's right. It was tennis balls. That's
no,
right.
I'm saying the Joust. Did I say Gauntlet? Oh. I meant Joust.
Yeah, with the
they were up on the platform with the foam Q-tips that they beat each other up with.
Mm-hmm.
Did you ever watch that the remake of it with Muhammad Ali's daughter and Hollywood Hulk Hogan?
No. Hosts?
Yeah.
I think I remember it, but I don't think I really watched it.
It wasn't bad. It's actually what helped Gina Carano bridge the gap between MMA fighter and legit action star, because she was, oh man, I can't remember what gladiator name she was. She might have been Crush. I think it was Crush. But yeah, I remember, I have very fond memories of Saturday afternoons watching American Gladiators as a wee lad.
Yeah, wasn't it on, like, after cartoons, it would be American Gladiators?
It was after cartoons. And around the time that it stopped airing, that's when Sci-Fi Channel started airing Mystery Science Theater. So it's kind of right around that kind of age. But yeah, no, I loved American Gladiators.
I remember it being like, cartoons are over, but I'm okay with this.
Yeah, this is fine. I'm all right with this.
her name was Crush.
It was Crush. All right, good. Yeah.
Oh, man. Do you remember a show? It came on kind of after cartoons also, and it was half fake, but half not. God, it was like some kind of martial arts show, and all these people had like a gimmick or something.
Half fake,
They fought over like a belt.
Yeah, it's called wrestling.
No. Remember it was on Fox.
Was it like on an island or something?
Maybe.
Survivor with punching.
Wait, I think I found it.
Okay, what is it? Oh, what's the name? Because it sounds familiar.
WMAC Masters.
Yes! Yes, I do remember WMAC Masters. Yes, I do. It was like baby's first wrestling.
Yeah, but instead of wrestling, they did karate.
They did karate, yeah. It was super good.
Like, I remember there was a guy that had like a tsunami crest on his chest or something.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, he was like the one I always like rooted for.
Yeah, it was like a step. It was like the halfway point between Power Rangers and professional wrestling, because
yeah,
it was real fights but fake stories, and I think some of them had like fake powers or something.
They were choreographed martial arts fights.
Yeah,
it was produced by 4Kids.
Oh, it was. Whoa, okay. Yes, I do remember that. Yeah.
In conjunction with the co-producers of Power Rangers, the Renaissance Atlantic Films.
Oh, see, there you go.
So that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. But no, that's awesome.
It had two seasons.
Good times.
Yeah. Well, I don't remember this at all.
Oh, I used to watch the living dirt out of it.
Oh, yeah.
I have no idea what this is.
Like, some of these... oh, man. Some of the other people that were in this went on to do like G.I. Joe, Watchmen, Catwoman,
mm-hmm.
XXX, The Next Level. Oh god, it's so bad. It was choreographed in nature, and the competitors were legitimate martial artists. A couple of them actually went on to the Olympics and won the gold.
See, that's awesome.
Yeah, I used to watch that. I used to love that show.
The real Dragon Star, the Olympic gold medal.
Let's see here. He had some great names in here, like The Machine.
That's what I'm looking. I'm trying to find like the list of wrestler or fighter names.
Yin Yang Man, Red Dragon. There's a guy in season 2 called Wizard.
Yin Yang Man, yes.
Princess, Little Bam.
Mm-hmm.
Bam in Bam. Season 1 as The Bam. Mouse, Olympus, Superstar, Star Warrior, Lady Lightning, Tiger Claw, Great Wolf.
Great Wolf Lodge. He went on to found Great Wolf Lodge.
Actually, it used to be called Great Bear Lodge. Anyway, Hollywood, character was never used. Turbo, Panther, Chameleon, Warlock, Tarantula, Tsunami, Cyclone.
Now we're just saying words.
Right?
Yeah, we are just saying words at this point. But yes, I do remember a lot of these.
Oh, man. I used to love that show. I'm sure it would be super cheesy now.
Oh, incredibly. Yeah.
I'm like going back and watching Power Rangers.
I'm sure all of it is on YouTube. I'll bet nobody cares enough to take that down.
Well, there's one way to find out.
So, check it out. Did anybody do anything?
I'll go first.
Well, okay. Before you do that, someone has stitched the entirety of season 1 of WMAC Masters into a 6.5-hour YouTube video.
There you go.
Well, actually, take that back. Someone has turned the entire series into a 9-hour YouTube video. So yes, you can watch the entirety, beginning to end, WMAC Masters on YouTube. Because no one cares.
Nice.
Oh, man.
So anyway.
This one guy looks like Guile from the Street Fighters movie, but like they vacuum formed him. Like, like they sucked out all the air. So he's like all shrunken down. Yeah. All right. Sorry. Go ahead.
So anyway. Yeah. Checkouts. Did you ever finish Beastars, Cody?
Oh, crap, we didn't. We forgot.
So, anyway, I know I mentioned it mid-show last week, I think.
We can still talk about it. Just no spoilers.
Yeah. Anyway, Beastars is an anime series on Netflix that is animal people, kind of like Zootopia. But
not for children.
Yeah.
It is definitely not for children.
It's R-rated Zootopia.
Yeah. Oh my god, yeah.
Can you imagine a parent accidentally putting that on for a kid?
Oh my god.
The main conceit of this show is that there's this wolf guy who can't tell if he's in love with this rabbit girl or wants to eat her.
Yeah.
Yeah, and him, like, dealing with those emotions in an animal world where, like, all the predators have to eat vegan food.
No, that's not necessarily true.
Well, yeah, there's like the black market.
Taboo.
It's taboo.
It's sort of taboo, but the black market's legal. Students at the school, predators at the school can't eat meat.
Yeah.
So basically you have to wait till you're an adult to be able to eat meat. How far did you get into the show, Cody?
I don't remember. I want to say we were like at least halfway.
Okay. But you know about the black market then?
Yeah.
Okay. So anyway, yeah, but it is, I really can't tell if I liked it. I really can't. It's weird. It's weird from like a lot of points.
A lot of angles.
And it's really weird because, are you watching it in English or are you watching it subtitled?
I'm watching it dubbed.
Okay. The fact that the bunny girl is Fink from OKKO.
Oh my god, it is. Mm-hmm. I didn't realize that was Fink. Oh no.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, no.
Yeah. It's really dark near the end, though.
Yeah, it has dark vibes all through the beginning. Like,
oh yeah, the students murdered, like, on the onset, and they don't even, like, you don't even get who did it in the whole season. Like, I have a theory on who did it, but it's not said.
Gotta save that for season 2.
And the fact that, like, they just call it being devoured. Like, they use that word a lot. When another animal is when another animal is killed by a predator, they are being devoured.
Hmm.
It's really weird. Oh, and you know what I think another thing kind of weirds me out with Beastars is like they have a lot of like the animal proportion thing, kind of like Zootopia did, where like some animals are just really huge and others are like really really tiny. Like you see like mouse students almost getting stepped on, stuff like that. But then you got like some of them have like animal looking eyes and some of them have kind of like anime eyes. And it's weird. For some reason, it's like a weird disconnect in my brain. Like the little bunny girl, Haru, has like bunny eyes. And every time she's just looking, it's weird. And it's got that CGI like.
Yeah, like, stink on it.
Yeah, like, you know, cloud around it. And so everything just kind of looks weird. And Legoshi's always slouching and just looks like. I don't know. Like, you look at him, he's probably, like, 7 feet tall, but he's always, like, hunched over like some kind of weirdo. Like, he's trying to, like, hide or how big he is or whatever.
Well, and because he's not comfortable with his status as a predator.
Yeah, he's not.
Yeah.
And all his best friends are dogs. Like, Jack. I mean, it's a weird show. It's an interesting show. I mean, I'm not sure.
So when does BoJack Horseman show up on this?
I think while I was watching it, I think I did make a BoJack joke. But no, he does not show up.
I think it's a different enough show that it's interesting, and that makes it a fun watch.
But also, I mean, I hope you're okay with either violence, blood, and sexual situations.
It's not for kids.
No, it is not for children. It is not for the wee ones.
Despite being about cartoon animals, it's not for kids.
Though the opening is pretty dope. It's got that electro swing kind of thing going on, like Cuphead had, and you know, stuff like that.
Speaking of cartoon animals, we watched Scoob, the new Scooby-Doo movie, the other day.
Oh yeah, how was that?
It was pretty good.
It was weird.
Yeah, it was really weird.
I don't know. But, there's no Matthew Lillard.
See, I don't understand why people are so upset about that, because he wasn't Shaggy originally anyway.
No, but he's been Shaggy for a long time.
Yeah, but, I mean, for me, it's Casey Kasem.
Well, yeah, that's what we wrote.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah, like, they already changed it once. I think that seal has been broken.
Well, I think it's more like, I think I read somewhere that him and the girl who does Daphne...
Grey DeLise.
Yeah, they've been doing it for a long time, and I guess they didn't find out they weren't doing it until, like, last minute or something.
Yeah, and I'll admit, it is jarring for the first 10 minutes of the movie to have all these wrong voices coming out of the Scooby-Doo characters.
It seemed very stunt-casty, the way they went through and cast all the characters in this.
Nobody does a bad job, though.
I'm sure they do a fine job, but it seemed like it's like every character had a celebrity voice attached to it, and it just seemed very stunt casty.
Except for Scooby, thank God.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, they got Frank Welker does Scooby, which is good.
Good.
It's kind of amazing. It's kind of funny, like this old man Frank Welker doing like a young Scooby.
Yeah, and that he didn't get to do Fred, even though he was there, and that's who he usually does.
So you said the movie was good, though? It was fine? How was the inclusion of Blue Falcon and Dino Mutt into the whole mythos?
I really liked it. There was a ton of Hanna-Barbera references sprinkled all through the movie. And as somebody who spent way too much time watching Boomerang when they were, you know, like a tween.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I got a lot out of it. I was just scanning every background. I'm like, oh my god, that's Peebles Pet Shop. That's Squiddly Diddly.
You see, that's why I liked the Mystery Inc. show as much as I did, because one, it had continuity, and two, they kind of talked about other mystery teen type teams on that, didn't they? There was like the Jabberjaw and Speed Buggy and stuff like that.
Very good Speed Buggy.
That was fantastic. A+. 10 out of 10 Speed Buggy.
Yeah, it's not as good as Mystery Inc. was, but it's a good kids movie, and is funny enough you can watch it as an adult and not feel like you're watching a total baby show.
Oh, that's good. That's good, at least.
Because that's what I was worried about the most when I put it on. I'm like, I hope this isn't just, like, for babies.
Mm-hmm.
But no, there was good jokes in there, and the animation is pretty good. They do, like a remake of the theme sequence, but in CG, and the backgrounds are, like, the same sparse, like, crappy backgrounds they had in the TV show.
Oh, really?
And it looks amazing. Like, they just really nailed it. The plot gets really weird, though. Like,
it's like some alien thing, right?
No. Dick Dastardly.
Oh, right. Dick Dastardly. That's it.
Yeah. You don't want me to spoil it? Well, they talk about it in the trailer, don't they?
I don't think so.
No?
I knew Dick Dastardly was in it. I didn't know if he was... Well, I mean, I guess...
Yeah.
Should have assumed he was the main villain of the piece or whatever.
He has like a super villain flying ship that looks like his Wacky Racers car, which is cool.
Oh, okay, cool.
And Blue Falcon is actually the son of Blue Falcon.
Oh, nice.
And the way they redesigned his suit, he looks more like Captain Falcon than he does Blue Falcon. But
I think that's what got me is I thought it was just some superhero character they made up. I didn't realize that was the Blue Falcon.
Oh, yeah, that's the same as your Falcone. Oh, we were catching up on Harley Quinn last night. And speaking of not spoiling it, they did something on Harley Quinn I didn't think they would do. And I'll leave it at that.
Okay.
if it's their ties to their relationship, I think they talked about it in an article like 2 weeks ago.
Do you want to talk about that? What we do in the shadows?
Oh, yeah, we've been watching What We Do in the Shadows, the new season, as it comes out. And it has been just, like, absolutely stellar. Just hilarious. There's an episode where Mark Hamill guests on it, and he is just...
Oh, my God, I was, like, screaming laughing. It was so funny.
Yeah.
Really? Oh, that's great.
He's, like, coming to find Laszlo because he owes him money for a room he rented however long ago. And he's just like trying to chase him down and get his money back. And Laszlo, being the absolute coward that he is, just runs away and goes on the lam and assumes the identity Jackie Daytona.
I need to get caught up on that show. Yeah.
Oh, and Mark Hamill's character's name is just Jim the Vampire.
You know, Vampire Jim.
Yeah. Despite looking like a Victorian like vampire, his name is just Jim the Vampire.
Oh, that's great.
Like it is probably like hands down my favorite show on TV right now. It's that funny.
I keep thinking about starting it, but I'm trying to get caught up on a bunch of other stuff right now.
The one before that has that there's the energy vampire guy that they added that's different from the movie, and he's just like this like white collar boring worker guy. Mm-hmm. And he gets made the boss at his office, and he just gets out of control with power because now everybody has to listen to him be boring. And that's how he feeds the energy off people, and he just becomes, like, super powerful, and it's hilarious.
Yeah, I really need to get caught up on that show. I'm super, super behind.
Yeah, I couldn't recommend that show anymore. Yeah. It's the best.
Nicole has never seen Star Wars, and so we finally buckled down and started watching Star Wars movies.
Oh, cool. Timely, since this past week was the 40th anniversary of Empire,
yep.
I believe.
Yep. Yeah.
Yep. 82.
Yeah.
And so she wanted to go in chronological order because she already knew the big reveal. I was like, okay, whatever. So we went through and watched the prequel trilogy.
Oh, okay.
Is it as bad as I remember it being?
Yes and no. Like the just beating you over the head with the CGI-ness of it, and it looks bad. Like it looks like some of the scenes almost look like Command and Conquer like cutscenes.
Oh wow.
Yeah, well that's what you're gonna get when you rely so much on CG and you don't mix in any practical anything. Like, mm-hmm. by its nature, CGI ages worse than practical effects.
Yeah, that's why Jurassic Park still looks so good.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm sitting there and I'm like, some of these scenes, especially like these wide sweeping shots of like, you know, the Jedi Temple and things like that. I'm like, oh my God, it looks so bad.
Oh, I
like there's like this unnatural border around like all the actors.
There's like one scene that sticks out in my head in Revenge of the Sith when Anakin and Palpatine go to the space opera.
Oh, yeah, yeah, with the scene with Blue George Lucas.
Yeah, the scene with Blue George Lucas. For some reason, when they're and Palpatine is talking about Jedi Master Sifo-Dyas, who can stop death or whatever.
No, that was Darth Plagueis.
Darth Plagueis, that's it. Darth
the Wise.
Yeah.
Darth Plagueis the Wise. But I remember that scene being particularly bad. Like, the actors were clearly just two folks on a green screen in a green studio, did not know what they were looking at or what they're supposed to be acting off of, and everything was just drawn around them. I remember that one aging particularly poorly.
That one looks really bad. There's one where like Mace Windu, Obi-Wan, and I think maybe Yoda are standing in like the either the Senate or in the Jedi Temple, and it just looks really bad.
Yeah.
In Attack of the Clones, like the first time the clones show up in like the big combat scene at the end, Nicole just looked at me and goes, "That looks awful."
Yeah.
And I'm like, yep, there is not a single real clone trooper. Mm-hmm. Like, all they have is the dude's head, but anytime you have them in full armor, they look like straight garbage. I mean, they looked a little better in Revenge of the Sith.
Sure.
Yeah, I remember Revenge of the Sith being like almost good.
Yeah, and it was. And it was. And then we got like to the end of the movie and like, you know, they're talking about like Padme dying of a broken heart and stuff. And Nicole's like, this is some straight BS right here. What is like, oh no, my husband, you know, went evil and stuff. Oh, this sucks.
She's dying of a broken heart and also being force choked.
Yeah.
But mostly the heart.
Well, I actually read a thing the other day. Where they talked, I don't know if it was in a book or a more recent thing, where they said the reason why Padme was dying is because Palpatine was sapping her life force to keep Anakin alive.
That sounds
which makes
retconned BS. It makes sense, but also that's a total cop-out. That did not exist at the time of filming.
Yeah, but given Palpatine's powers in the latest Star Wars movie, I think that's where the article came from.
Again, it makes sense, but that was not the intended.
Well, I always intended.
Well, it was always my intention that Palpatine was siphoning the life force out of Padme.
And he can just make people in tubes.
But Revenge of the Sith was definitely better than I remember. There was the one part where Anakin walks into the Jedi Temple and those little kids like, what are we going to do, Master Skywalker? And he turns his lightsaber on. And Nicole just looks at me and goes, did he just murder all those children? And I'm like, well, you're going to have to wait and see.
Those poor younglings.
Not the younglings. what'd you think of that Yoda puppet from Phantom Menace?
I don't remember a Yoda puppet in Phantom Menace. I thought it was all CG.
Terrible off-model Yoda puppet from Phantom Menace? Yeah.
I don't remember that at all.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you what. Let's go to break. I'm going to find a picture of this Yoda puppet for you guys. And when we come back, we'll talk about some news. So how about that Yoda?
Ah, man. That's really bad. It's like... like, the Phantom Menace Yoda puppet is like when you put pizza rolls in the microwave, and classic Yoda is obviously pizza rolls in the oven.
That was definitely not a staged reaction. That was totally, totally a natural reaction that we just had about the Yoda puppet in Phantom Menace. Hey, we're back from the break. That was Mashed Potato Time by D.D. King.
A.K.A. D.D. Ramone. If you didn't know... he had a short-lived rap career, and you could tell it took off because he was very good.
He is the best rapper. I would put him right up there with Macho Man Randy Savage as the best rapper. That was some kind of something
Yeah, that you can thank No Dogs in Space, that music history podcast, for teaching me that existed.
Oh, yeah. All right, so hey, we're back from the break, so let's go ahead and get into some news. You know, let's go ahead and get the big one out of the way here. So this past week, HBO Go and Warner Brothers announced that in sometime in the future, in fact, I'm looking up the date, sometime in 2021, HBO Max is going to be releasing the Zack Snyder cut of the Justice League movie. Now, this has been a long rumored kind of thing that existed. Zack Snyder left production of the Justice League movie in post-production due to some really kind of tragic family stuff, but he didn't have final cut of his own film. And there's been a very large
stream on the internet,
a large group of people. Yeah. There's been a large torrent of people that have been wanting the Snyder cut because they swear up and down, oh, Justice League would not have sucked nearly as bad if Zack Snyder was allowed to have his own vision of the film or whatever. So
I mean, I've watched a few Snyder films. It still would have sucked.
Yeah. See, that's the thing. Yeah. And that's kind of what I want to get into with this a little bit. One, I don't like the way they have gone about getting this Snyder cut out into the public. It is very reminiscent of the Sonic the Hedgehog thing where there was a big online hullabaloo about wanting to fix the original version of the CGI Sonic. And in a similar fashion, the production company, was that Paramount?
Yeah.
They caved and came in and fixed the Sonic, which, I mean, in that case, kind of made the movie better. But still,
I would like to see the original version.
Oh, same here. I absolutely
the ugly cut.
Yeah, the teeth cut.
I'm still wondering if that was just at all a publicity stunt, obviously, though.
I would say yes, except they had made merchandise with Tooth Sonic, and you don't go that far to an extreme for a publicity stunt.
True.
Typically. I mean,
and now you just keep calling him Teeth Sonic, and all I'm thinking is those ugly dolls that look like they have real teeth.
Well, that's what he looked like. He looked like an ugly doll with real teeth. Yeah. Sonic doesn't have real teeth. But anyway, yeah, I'm interested in seeing what happens with this new cut of the Justice League movie. I don't like the way that it was brought about because it is emboldening people to just bully production companies and things like that into getting their way. And I don't know. There's something weird about it. Something doesn't sit right with me.
Well, because eventually going down that road, every film will be made by Twitter and Reddit.
Yeah, it'll be made by committee and it won't be good. Yeah. No, I agree. Now,
it's definitely a slippery slope.
Well, look at the third Star Wars sequel. That one was basically written by Reddit and it was awful.
And it was awful. Yeah. Okay, so taking that out of the equation, what are your thoughts on the Snyder cut versus the theatrical cut of this film?
You can't polish a turd.
Go ahead.
It's a bad movie. Like, are they going to reshoot the whole thing? Because that might make it better.
Yeah, I'm inclined to agree with you. In the interest of playing devil's advocate, I can kind of see the appeal of seeing what the movie would have been like as like a one unified kind of vision from beginning to end. Because rarely...
That movie was tonally all over the place. So.
Yeah. And if they were to at least correct the tonal issues, I'm not saying the movie itself would be any better. Because, again, like you said, you can't polish a turd.
Yeah.
But with things cut slightly differently, there's one fight scene in particular that in the finished project, it was definitely re-edited by Joss Whedon to have taken place in the daylight, and all of their costumes looked weird because the costumes for the movie, they were designed to be shot in low light and day for night, that sort of thing. And
oh, you're talking about the...
when Superman comes back.
Yeah, the resurrection scene.
Yeah, and all of their costumes looked weirdly, like the saturation was cranked way too high on it. because their suits weren't designed to be seen in full light, or at least that the version of the costumes used in for to film that scene. So I'm interested in that sense to see what one unified vision of the film would be. But then again, we had one unified vision through Man of Steel and Batman v Superman, and those were both cold burgers on a paper plate.
Oh, Batman v Superman was the lowest point. I think Justice League was at least better than that movie.
Yeah, but how much of that was Joss Whedon course correcting and adding levity to
it? Yeah, that's true. So you're saying it's possible it might be worse.
I'm saying it might be worse. It is 214 minutes long.
Oh, Lord.
Which is over 3.5 hours.
Oh, no.
So
thank
are you prepared for 3.5 hours of Batman, I fight Superman, Justice League.
Martha.
I saw a joke online. Someone said that the Snyder Cut version was brought about because all of the folks at Warner discovered that their mother's name were Martha. That's how they were convinced into doing this.
Why'd you say that name?
My mommy's name is Martha too.
Yeah. We're best friends.
Batman v Superman was so
Harley
bad.
The Harley Quinn show again.
Yeah, go for it. That's a much better show.
Yeah, they did an episode that was all Batman, and Harley's not even in it.
Really weird.
Yeah, but the opening is like two like nerds on a couch, like complaining about the Harley Quinn show, and one of them has a T-shirt on that says "Release the Snyder Cut."
Oh my God.
Yeah, and the other one's shirt says the Last Jedi isn't canon.
Oh no! Oh my God!
But they basically like blast that kind of nerd just within the course of like 2 minutes, like a 2 minute cold open.
That is great.
That is great.
I haven't seen any of the new episode of Harley or the new season of Harley Quinn yet.
It continues to be excellent. They've really upped a lot more Bane this season, which is good.
Oh, that's good. He is the kind of the breakout star of that show a little bit.
I mean, he's probably threatening to blow up the studio. Stupid show won't let me have more screen time. I'm just gonna blow it up.
Well, there's a point where he teams up with Two-Face, and he's making this like billboard about Two-Face is making this billboard about them teaming up. And it just says Two Faces, and it has Two Face and a shadow on it. He's like trying to downplay Bane all he can, and Two Face is like, "Well, that shadow, that's you." And he's like, "What was the line?" It's like that was a shadow I was born into, but it's not me.
Oh, that's good. That's really good. Oh gosh.
That show has no business being as good as it is.
I can see the potential of it being that good, and that's what I was hoping we were going to get out of it, and then they absolutely delivered.
Yeah, we are getting the absolute best version of the Harley Quinn show that we possibly can.
Yeah.
Like, the casting's great, the writers are right on there, and it's great that Warner and DC are kind of allowing the writers to just do whatever.
Yeah, I mean, they're killing off, like, tentpole Batman characters, like, all the time.
Yeah. Oh, hey, speaking of DC television series, did you hear that news that Ruby Rose is leaving the Batwoman CW show after one season?
Yeah, I saw that, and I was like, oh, man, I hope everything's okay. I'm like, I know they're not saying, but I'm like, now I'm just really nervous.
Yeah, that's wild. Like, and they're just going to recast her, I guess.
Yeah, that is kind of a weird thing. There really hasn't been any real reason for the departure, although I have a feeling I don't think she was really happy about kind of where CW superhero show characters, like actors, end up. You know how Stephen Amell, basically all he does now, like his career is now going from convention to convention.
Yeah.
Signing autographs and bringing home trash bags full of $20 bills. Seriously, that's an interview that he gave once. He talked about that going to cons is like the best thing because He said, where else can you go? Can you leave a hotel with trash bags full of $20 bills?
Yeah. That sounds disgusting.
It
that
does.
Sounds like something Frank Reynolds would say on Sonny.
But I mean, that's the truth. I mean, a lot of those. Yeah, I mean, the background, a lot of times when you get celebrities at cons, they pay like a one-time fee for their booth. And then whatever they make on their autographs, they clear. They just it's all take home. So like, say if they bring a $500 worth of glossy prints and their table costs them $700, as long as they break $700 at $20 a pop, everything else is free and clear.
And a lot of times those autographs are more than that.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Like an Stephen Amell will do like, I mean, shoot. I mean, bet his are like $50 for a signature and $150 for a autograph or like a picture or something. It's crazy. Mm. But anyway, I have a feeling Ruby Rose was not up for becoming that type of actress, which is fine. Which is totally fine. If that were the case, though, why did she take the role in the first place?
Yeah.
Well, I remember she was really excited about it.
Because they probably handed her a fistful of cash.
Well, not just that. I mean, I don't know about that, but I just know I read in an interview where she's talking about how she, you know, watching superhero shows and things like that, they never had a character that she felt she identified with.
Sure.
And, you know, so, you know, being able to play Batwoman was really important to her.
An openly lesbian character.
Superhero. Yeah. Yes.
Superhero, sure. Yes. And who was the starring lead character of a road show, because there have been LGBT characters in other shows, but not a headliner, I guess.
Yeah. So it's like, I don't know. It just makes me really wonder what's going on. Is, you know, did something happen? You
know, she's tired of being in Vancouver for 6 months out
of
the year.
Well, that could be part of it. Yeah. Yeah.
I was more wondering, like, you know, did something happen behind the scenes that was really awful? Did something happen online? You know,
and that could also have been part of it. We just don't know. And you know what? We probably will never know. And I mean, it's really none of our business. The fact is, they're going to recast the character, which is kind of unprecedented,
especially for the CW superhero shows.
They usually don't recast.
No,
typically not. I have seen on Twitter that I can't think of the actress's name, but she plays Detective Perez.
Stephanie Beatrice.
Beatrice. Yeah, she's been lobbying pretty hard.
That'd be fine. And she'd be a good Batwoman. Yeah.
She would be great. Yeah, I'd be up for it. That'd be awesome. But no, it's just kind of a weird thing that they're going through with the Batwoman show. It'll be interesting to see where it ends up. Speaking of which, have you guys seen the trailers for the Stargirl show?
I keep seeing the ads for it, but I don't think I've actually watched the trailers.
It doesn't look bad. It looks like
I mean, she looks like Stargirl.
I'd watch it.
Yeah, it's very much based off of the Stargirl series that Geoff Johns wrote. That was actually one of the first. It was one of the first, if not the first thing he wrote for DC, and he is executive producer and he's head of DC. He's like the head DC liaison between the comics and their television, their media output. But his Stargirl is very near and dear to his heart. He wrote the series. The character Courtney Whitmore, Stargirl, is based off of his sister, who was in a hit and run, was killed in a hit and run. Him writing Stargirl was him working through that.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah. Stargirl is like one of his like major like. That is his thing. But the show itself looks like a lot of fun. It looks like it's going to be pretty funny. A little more lighthearted than some of the other CW shows. It's definitely more on the Flash end of the spectrum instead of the Arrow. It is interesting that Luke Wilson is a major character in it.
Yeah.
That's kind of cool. Joel McHale is the original Starman who dies in the first episode. But no, it's interesting, and it looks like they're bringing in more of the Justice Society, and they're doing a lot of like legacy characters whose parents or grandparents were part of the original Justice Society that served on the team during World War II, that sort of thing. Which the Justice Society comic was very much in that vein as well. It's about legacy. It was about taking up the mantle from other people, that sort of thing. I don't know. It just looks cool.
I mean, it'll be definitely interesting because it'll be a way to, you know, she is a character that a lot of, you know, people don't really know about.
Yeah. Yeah. But
heck, I think the most exposure I ever had to Stargirl was
like Justice League action.
Maybe. Yeah.
She's in that quite a bit. She has a great character design in Justice League action. Well, everybody does.
Everybody does. Yeah. But yeah, I'm interested in seeing where that goes. Hey, why don't you tell me about these Super Nintendo and Nintendo games that are on the Switch now?
Just, I think, yesterday, they added 3 new Super Nintendo games to their Super Nintendo Online and 1 NES game to the NES Online service on the Switch. And, unfortunately, they're not big names, that's for sure. Super Nintendo, we got... I can't even remember what they are off the top of my head. We've got Wild Guns, which is like an arcade-style third-person shooter game, which is bad game.
No, I've played it before. It's not terrible.
But also, nobody was asking for it. And they recently did a sequel to it, too, I think. That's probably on the eShop. The other one was Operation Logic Bomb, which is like a twin stick shooter that I've never even heard of before.
I've never heard of that game.
Yeah. I played it a little bit last night. It's fine. It's weird. You just walk around and shoot stuff like those top down levels in Contra that nobody likes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but this is the whole game. And the other one's Panel de Pon, which is a Japanese puzzle game that's still in Japanese.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, but I mean, it's a really fun puzzle game. It's, if you've ever played the Pokemon Puzzle League game.
I was going to say, it looks like Puzzle League. Yeah.
It is that exact game, but this one's about anime fairies, which is why we didn't get it in America.
Oh.
I mean, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, it was released in America as Tetris Attack and was Yoshi's Island themed.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Which begs the question, why? Oh, I can tell you right now why they didn't put Tetris Attack on there, because it has the Tetris name in it.
That's exactly it. Yeah.
they would have to license that and there's no real good reason to spend that kind of money.
Yeah, yeah.
So we got Panel de Pon, and you just kind of have to guess on the menus because they're in Japanese. Once you get to the game, though, it's not an issue because it's just matching the shapes and colors.
Right. I was going to say, yeah, if it's like Pokemon Puzzle League, then yeah, it's... Jordan will be happy. She loves Puzzle League.
Yeah, it's probably the best game of the bunch, honestly.
Yeah.
And on NES, we got Rygar, which that's a good game.
Rygar and his battle yo-yo.
Yeah, I mean, it was the first kind of, like, platformer with, like, adventure elements in it.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's like, that's the only one out of this bunch that I've played. But I enjoyed Rygar.
Yeah, it was kind of groundbreaking for its time, too. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it has, you know, historical relevance, at least. But it's weird that they only put one NES game on there. And
here we go.
Rygar.
My theory, Rygar for Smash.
Yeah, that wouldn't be terrible.
Yeah, yeah. He's just obscure enough.
Yet, yeah, we still can't get Donkey Kong Country.
That's kind of the big one.
That's all I care about.
Yeah,
I know.
I'd make an argument that maybe there's some kind of deal with Rare or something why they can't.
There's not, though.
Exactly. Yeah. And also the fact that it's on the NES Mini, or the Super Nintendo Mini.
Yeah.
At least the first one is.
You can buy all 3 of them on the 3DS.
I tell
one
you what,
on the 3DS.
Yeah,
yeah. You know what?
Exactly.
You know what it probably is. So when it gets close to time that, like, I want to say 75-80% of their user base, it's time for them to re-up their Switch Online subscription. That's probably when drop a whole bunch of really good games, and I imagine they're probably saving it for some time around then.
I mean, that's when we got the Super Nintendo games.
Yeah, exactly.
When 1 year was up and it was time for everybody to renew their mostly pointless online subscription.
Yeah.
They dropped a whole bunch of Super Nintendo games.
Yeah, and they're not going to do a Nintendo 64 online thing because those games are just big enough, I believe, that they can do individual releases of those.
Yeah, or at least
maximize
remasters.
Yeah, yeah. So
there's been a rumor floating around for a while now that they're working on a Nintendo Mario 64 remaster.
Oh, I don't doubt it.
Yeah. And this was the same rumor that said they were working on a new Paper Mario, and it turns out they were. So
yeah. Yeah, I have no doubt that.
Say.
Yeah, Mario 64 remaster. They've remastered Ocarina of Time so many different times. I have no doubt they'll probably end up doing something similar with that. You know, get some of the big 64 games as remasters. It's going to happen. So they're really going to have to bank on loading up their Nintendo and SNES library.
Yeah,
so.
I've been playing the original Paper Mario lately just because they announced the new one, and I realized I'd never actually finished it.
Really?
And it holds up really, really well. It's still a fantastic video game.
Oh, cool.
Is that the one that was on GameCube?
No, it's on Nintendo 64.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that is actually one of the few games we talked about Puzzle League. That's the other game Jordan has played. She has two games with her Nintendo 64, and it's Paper Mario, which she loves, and Pokemon Puzzle League, which she loves. Those are her two favorite games.
Paper Mario, they could release it now, and it would be fine. Like, it hasn't aged a day.
Oh, sure. I bet it has a lot to do with the art style. They don't have to update graphics or anything.
I mean, I would argue that it probably looks better than Mario 64 because it's a polygon.
Oh yeah.
mm-hmm.
But even from a game design standpoint, like it still stands up excellently.
All right. Well, hey, let's do a couple of really quick hits because we only have a couple minutes left of the show. So Jason Momoa and Peter Dinklage are doing a vampire movie in which Peter Dinklage is playing Van Helsing.
There really isn't
a whole lot of news to go along with that, except that it is something that is going to exist, and I think that's kind of great. I imagine it's going to be at least partially a comedy.
I feel like it would have to.
Okay, you know what? Here's the plot synopsis. Dinklage will play Van Helsing, last in a long line of vampire hunters. He develops an uneasy partnership with a vampire, Jason Momoa, who has taken a vow never to kill again. Together, they run a scam from town to town where Van Helsing pretends to vanquish the vampire for money. But when a massive bounty is put on the vampire's head, everything in this dangerous world full of monsters and magic is now after them. So
it's Dragonheart.
It's the Frighteners.
Oh, yeah, that too.
Yeah.
Jason Momoa is Alucard.
He kind of is, yeah. 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 So you know what? I'm all for this one. That sounds kind of great.
Man, they did Alucard dirty in the latest season of Castlevania, too.
I haven't watched it yet.
I haven't watched it yet, but he goes like full wine mom, doesn't he?
Kind of. And he's lonely, and he doesn't really get to do anything the whole season. It's still a really good season of the show. I've watched the whole thing, and like the last two or three episodes are just absolutely buck wild, cram full of stuff.
See, that show is great, but it needs to do a time jump at some point. I want to see some other Belmonts. I want to see some other time periods with Dracula.
Yeah,
yeah. Give me Simon. Yeah, give me
Richter and Maria.
Richter, yeah.
I mean, they go with Alucard anyway. Like,
give me some Soma Cruz in there. What the heck? Why not?
Yeah.
Didn't they? Wait, which one was that one?
Arya of Sara.
Yeah.
Okay. Because I know they mentioned the one in the first season. There's like a painting of the original Belmont or whatever.
Oh yeah, that's Just Belmont.
Yeah.
From Lament of Innocence? I think the PlayStation 2 one.
Yes.
That nobody likes, but really isn't that bad.
It's been so long since I touched it. I don't even remember liking it or not liking it.
Yeah, it's not. It's perfectly okay. Mm-hmm. People were just hard on it at the time because it's obviously not as good as the 2D ones because they're 2D Castlevanias.
Now who were the characters from the Nintendo 64 one?
Oh,
the bad one.
I think Maria is in that one, but I forget who the whip man is.
Ah, yeah. Let's do some of that one. Let's see that. Because that one had a skeleton riding a motorcycle. Yes, it absolutely did. I'm here for that. Okay, and the last thing I have here, again, is another real quick hit. We Bare Bears, the Cartoon Network animated series, is getting a movie. Kind of came out of nowhere. What do you guys think?
Yeah. I think it's deserving of a film. I think it's a very cute and good show.
It's very wholesome and it's smart. It's just a really good show.
I don't think I ever watched an episode of We Bare Bears that I thought was a bad episode or I didn't like.
It did have that episode with Jason David Frank when they all pretended to be Power Rangers.
Oh, I didn't see that one.
Yeah.
I saw the Charles Barkley one.
Boy, I was way wrong on this Castlevania. Castlevania 64 has Cary Fernandez and Reinhard Schneider.
Oh, Reinhard Schneider. So terrible.
who should be voiced by Rob Schneider in the Netflix shows. But yeah, give those bears all the movies they want.
Yeah, why not? I mean, it's a direct-to-video thing. It's not going to be a... theatrical, yeah. But still, it's definitely worth your time.
That's how most Cartoon Network movies go. They do a straight-to-video or TV type thing, like Steven Universe and regular show.
Yeah,
regular show that aired on the network.
All right, well, hey, we have actually hit time, so let's go ahead and wrap things up. You have been listening to Nerd Overload. Thank you very much for tuning in. You can find us each and every day over at nerdoverload.com.
You can find us on social media, Facebook, Twitter, Twitch, and Instagram at Nerd Overload Now.
You can email us at staff@nerdoverload.com.
You can give us a call on the Nerd Overload hotline and leave a message at 586-372-8020. Tell us who your favorite Belmont is. Mine's Trevor, but that's obvious.
Mine's Jay. What was his name? From Aria of Sorrow. Julius, that's it. Julius Belmont, that's him. We are also on various podcast catchers like Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, and more. And finally, I'd like to thank David Pencil for the use of our intro and outro. You can find more of his stuff at davidpencil.com. So again, thank you all for tuning in, and we will be back next week.
Pizza out.